Blog Talk Radio.
That's right, that's right. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another crazy edition of the Absolute Truth Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your hottest host with the most, the hottest king of kings. I am the one and only, the hot rod indeed. And on the phone line, I have the man who might be the father of Nicki Minaj, baby now, announcing that she's pregnant today. So Sean Black will take the test later on. I give you the one, the only, Sean Black.
Yes, Sean Black in the building. No, I am not the father. And no, I do not need Maury Povich to even go further than that. Okay? What has happened to this planet? Oh, boy.
Listen, there's a lot going on. You know the number, guys. 347-989-4024. I can't even say the number no more. I'm that hot. 347-989-8402. The number once again is 347-989-8402. Sean, I hope your AC is pumping some cold air because we got a lot of hot topics coming up.
Oh, yeah.
I like that.
Yes, yes.
All right. Unfortunately, it's a big announcement about Nicki Minaj very quickly. I don't want to talk a whole hour about this. But Sean brought up a good point that, you know, when she announced her pregnancy, people are more focused on Nicki Minaj being pregnant. There's nothing wrong with that, but people are more focused on that compared to the real problems we face in the world today. I'm talking about problems like the heat wave that's happening, of course, the coronavirus, the riots in Portland, Oregon, that's under siege right now, debates about masks that's still going on, Jeffrey Epstein, the guy who quote-unquote hung himself, a judge that was assigned to his trial, her son got murdered and her husband got shot up in New Jersey yesterday. And, of course, the coronavirus in 6 days gone to over 60,000 cases in Florida. Sean, I don't have no time to go over everything that's going on. But why are people not focusing on these topics? Or they better go crazy over Nicki Minaj's pregnancy because it's good news, or is it just another distraction?
Well, I think that second part of it is what it is. I think that a lot of people have kind of checked out of the real world. I think a lot of people are looking for an outlet. They're looking to get away from a lot of the things that are going out there. To add to what you just stated as far as a lot of the things that are going out there, we've had two giants in the civil rights movement pass away within days of each other. And there's Georgia Representative John Lewis and Reverend C.T. Vivian, both champions of the civil rights movement, and they are getting now the attention that they deserve to get, which is what they should have gotten and they've always gotten. But like you said before, it seems like a lot of people put more stock into frivolous things. Like we talked about this a few weeks ago when Florida and some of the other places started to open up. And the first thing that we started to notice was, okay, everything is good for the moment. Let's start opening up businesses. And instead of taking the time to be more careful, to make sure, what did we see? People in long lines going to buy sneakers. Now remember, we talked about this probably about 2 months ago.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We talked about the idea behind what is it that drives the mindset of people in this situation and what is more important, what did you prioritize in the middle of a pandemic, in the middle of a recession, things going on now. Like you just stated, we've had a ridiculous starting heat wave in the Northeast and other parts of the country. People are losing their jobs left and right. And, you know, we still aren't talking about a lot of the things we should be talking about. As I harp on every single week, the drinking water in Flint, Michigan, is damn near criminal. People should be going to jail over that. We still haven't heard anybody bringing that back up in mainstream news. We bring this up every week. So these are the kinds of stories that could get precedence over a lot of these things, and it's not. Hopefully we're the ones that are bringing it to everybody.
Well, talking about, you know, stories and everything, yesterday you and I just talking about your boy, your president, Trump.
Don't pin that one on me.
You say that every week, of course.
And I'm right every week also.
Well, talk about right. Trump claims that he's right in his hour on list interview on Fox News. Yes, another station that you love, just like Trump, Fox News. And like you and I was going back and forth yesterday. It's like the stuff that come out of Trump's mouth, we try not to be surprised. There's no shock, but you still can't help drop your mouth. Like, really? Did he just say that? In other words, Trump said yesterday two things that caught my attention the most. That he has the pandemics under control in America, and that he's right that one day the virus will be gone. I'm sorry, tell me to laugh.
Yeah.
Sean Black, what was your takeaway from the interview yesterday with Trump and Chris Wallace?
Well, the one thing I'll say out of all of the things that come out of Fox News and a lot of the reporting that comes from Fox News, seemingly Chris Wallace seems to me to be the only person that has a backbone when it comes to asking the president or asking or even taking to task anything that this president does. And he literally fact-checked him as the interview was going along.
I find that very interesting because I'm sorry to cut you off. The way Trump called someone on the offside to go get the reports on something to prove that he was right. In actuality, he was wrong. The cameras right in front of Chris Wallace.
Yes. And the one thing that a lot of people, that the people that are the staunchest of supporters of this president and this administration seem to have almost, it's almost like the mindset of he can do no wrong. But what we've started to see, all the 3.5 years previous up to this point, where we know that there were a lot of things that this president has said and done that have either ticked people off, offended, disgusted, and in a lot of ways harmed many, many people. The one thing that he can't say that he has no direct responsibility in is how this coronavirus pandemic response has actually been handled. Now, you said, bringing up the interview that he said where he said he has the coronavirus under control. We're approaching 150,000 dead in this country since this thing started here, literally.
I say by November, 200,000. And that's
and
being
I told you, and I told you before, I think it's going to be higher than that. And the reason why is because, as we talked about, a lot of the areas, especially in the South, opened up as quickly as they could or as soon as they thought that there was a response, the response started to wane some. There were the masks. There were a lot of things going on. That was the actual mindset of let's open up the economy, which is what this president has always been about. And the three countries that have more deaths per 100,000 people, the UK, China, and the United States, third worst in the world in deaths per 100,000 people. Think about that. When we start talking about what's been going on, this president and this administration have literally turned their eyes and their attention away from this and tried to sweep everything under the rug. Meanwhile, as we've seen cases of going up in Florida, as we know, Arizona, California, Louisiana, 41 states have seen an uptick in the virus. And yet, everything is under control. I really don't understand what metric this person is looking for or looking at. outside of he's trying to move away from the virus. He is just so done with the virus. Let me move on to campaigning. Let me move on to my rallies.
How can you move on if it's still going on, taking over your country, the country that you're supposed to take care of? People vote you to run this country, well, the right way, but, you know, no president to rerun this country the right way, but that's another story. But where is your focus on, you know, taking care of your people? People have no job. People are losing lives. People are going crazy out there. You know, you have city of Portland under siege, like I keep saying. You got Black Lives Matter versus cops. The list go on and on. If this is your version, Sean Black, of making America great again?
I don't know what the formula is. It seems like the formula is rule through chaos and then find out what comes out of the chaos and then rule that. And what we're starting to see is in this country is trust in the government has eroded to such a degree that nobody that is in this country will believe anything that comes out of either the administration. Nobody will believe anything that comes through the media. And people are now, which has been going on for the longest, in will believe in facts. We have a situation where the United States of America, the outside people from other countries that used to look at the United States as a leader in so many different categories, are nowhere to be found. And they will look at this as if, wow, this is really gone wrong. This has really gone bad. And I think right now the rest of the world seems to be waiting on what happens after the fact. And I think this is what we're headed to right now.
Well, back, before I go to K-Dog, let me ask you this question. Unfortunately, I hate talking about this over and over, the debates of masks. It seemed like lately, I know we discuss all the time people should wear their mask for X, Y, Z reasons. Now, lately, there's been a debate, a nation divided, of people wearing masks and everything. You got people getting killed over this situation. Fights have been broke out. We both seen the videos over the internet. Why this nation has to debate over wearing a mask or not? And also, Sean Black, in the beginning, they told them, don't wear masks, we're not doing anything. 4 months later, they're begging the nation, for the most part, to wear a mask. Is it asking the public to wear masks now too late, 4 months later?
If people really sit down and value any kind of research that has been done, that's going to be something that has to be worked on. As far as trying to get people that did not believe in the research or believe in the message, that seemingly has passed. We know now, based on all of the research and everything that we've seen, like you said in the beginning, we were told the masks were mostly for people who were already sick, not for everybody else. But as we stated before, this is a novel COVID-19 virus, a new strain of the coronavirus, which meant we had no idea in the early onset of exactly how virulent and contagious this virus was. So, of course, when certain things happen in real time, things evolve and change. We've gone from nobody should wear a mask unless they're sick to it actually makes sense for everybody to be wearing a mask, to having social distancing, to washing your hands, which we've stated a lot of people, especially in America, are disgusting when it comes to how infrequently they wash their hands. So all of this has evolved. Now, going back to your statement about as far as the masks go, we know what that entails. And I think the people that have politicized the mask argument have turned this into, as we said, changing the narrative, taking it from we are trying to make sure we don't spread the virus to this is a march on our civil liberties, to you're taking away my rights. And the choice for a lot of the people that are complaining, as we said, and I remember bringing this video to you, I think I sent a link to you, that a man walked into a Walmart without a mask and was told to put a mask on and pulled out a gun in the middle of a Walmart. Now, I want you to think about that. What would have happened if he would have killed somebody over the actual task of putting on a mask, a small mask that you're wearing in the public, to keep the potential virus away from you, who may be asymptomatic and not know they have it, in an administration that does not still to this day have a nationwide testing protocol, or you getting the virus and taking it home and killing an elderly grandparent or killing your child, et cetera, et cetera. We're starting to see this virus ramp up. These are the reasons why. And this is what it is. Everything's been politicized, and that has been because of the lax ideology behind this administration and their lax argument towards this virus.
Okay, and to K-Dog, you know, with everything that's going on, and I have to bring this story, Astoria, Queens, and in Florida, there have been parties that have been happening up in the streets. In Queens, right here in New York City, they have we have outdoor dining, where it has been tearing. It has come out to become a block party. And our governor and mayor went off and like, listen, this needs to stop or we shut down the restaurant. In Florida, even with everything that's going on, with everything that Sean has explained it, they're still having COVID parties to see who could catch the coronavirus. Is what can we do to teach people, I didn't say young kids, but I'm sure there's some of those too overall, to take the thing seriously overall?
Well, unfortunately, a lot of people are not doing basic research on this virus, and of course they're not taking this virus seriously, because when it was first reported, this virus, they said that it affected the elderly. But now the studies are showing that this virus does not discriminate in terms of age, because a lot of young people are catching this virus due to the fact that many of them are going to large gatherings. They're going to these COVID parties, which is careless. And unfortunately, there was a couple of deaths and a couple of people who ended up infected with this disease due to the fact that they weren't taking it seriously. And a lot of the young people are like, oh, well, it's not going to happen to us. Oh, we don't need masks. So why we need masks for? It's, you know, like you said, taking away our freedom. Because earlier, as we saw a couple of weeks ago in Texas, where a young man went to a party, a 30-year-old man went to a party, and he caught the virus and died from it. The last thing he said was, I made a big mistake. And just a few days ago, as I was reading, a 24-year-old, she survived. She was able to, she lived. She said after going to a party, she caught it. But, you know, now she sees how serious it is. And due to what happened this weekend in Astoria, Queens, it was just carelessness. And the governor of New York and the mayor were very outraged about it, because they said, you know, we're going to suspend your licenses. What Governor Cuomo is trying to do is prevent a rise in the number of people getting infected, because in other states that, like you said earlier, opened too quickly, some of them opened as early as May, some opened at the end of April, and, you know, indoor dining, bars, people going to these large gatherings inside. What they're not realizing is that you're breathing other people's germs, and that you're breathing in their germs, and it could infect you. This disease is serious. It's real serious. And again, a lot of people, it's up to the people. The people are not taking it seriously. And with the politicians, I'll finish in a little bit. With the politicians, it's all about, well, let's make money first, and who cares about the safety of the people second?
I agree with that, yes, indeed. It's all about the money in the end. Well,
right. Before, the money in the end, you can't take it with you when you die.
Well, tell that to the rich people. But before I go on to the next guy, I want to give a huge birthday shout-out a late birthday shout out. He just turned 69 years old last week, his favorite number. I want to give him the biggest shout out in the world. Ladies and gentlemen, he is a brother from another mother. He is a racist, a bigot, a hater. He's all of the above. He loves to piss people off, ladies and gentlemen. Ladies
What's
and gentlemen,
up,
I give you Mr. Greetings and Sanitation himself, Brother B.
Greetings
What's
and
going on, Brother B?
Everyone. What's
Good.
Going
greetings
on?
And
Thank
salutations.
You. Thank
greetings
you.
And salutations. Greetings and birthday wishes, my friend.
Greetings and
Thank
birthday
you.
Wishes
that's,
to you, Brother B.
That's the most unique introduction I ever had.
you know.
Don't get used to it. You only get it once a year.
Yeah, no. Listen, I appreciate it. I'm at a point in life where I just appreciate whatever I accomplish. You know? No. I love it. But, yo, getting into that topic, yeah, man. You can't.
You don't know what to say anymore. You can't educate ignorance.
It is.
You know,
some of these people will think that they're smarter than you, that they're better than you, but yet they're out there doing the stupidness. And it's like you just got to let stupid play itself out, man. I guess this is a part of that survival of the fittest thing where, you know, life has to weed itself out. You know, if you're going to do things like that, and if you're going to take the risk, do that, then all right. I mean, that's on you. Me, I can't do that. I have no desire to do that. But, you know, some
exactly.
of these people out here think they're invincible, and they think they know better. They want to think, that, oh, it's a conspiracy theory. Yes, it's a conspiracy theory. So if it is, why take the chance?
Yeah.
Whether it is or it isn't, why just take? Why roll the dice? And then you turn around, you're in the box how many days later? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's a selfish mentality because what about the family? What about the people that, you know, love you? What about the people that you're going to be around?
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people don't think. And all they're going to do is force a situation where we're either going to have to go down to lockdown or something worse. And I believe that Black probably saw it, or you, Hot Rod, about this Kentucky couple who came back from somewhere. They refused to sign some paperwork. So they put ankle bracelets on.
Yes.
Listen, you want to talk about your freedoms and your rights? If you don't play the game that you're supposed to play, then you're going to give them up one way or another.
Exactly.
Yeah. And, Brother B, to your point, like I told Spectre Shine earlier, you guys know I love to go out, drink, party, live the life like the party. You know,
right.
There's no secret about that. But I have not done any of that. Even though with the outdoor restaurants and everything, I still have not gone out to party or drink or hang out with friends. And like I told Sean, I still go see my father to, you know, check up on him. I'm still wearing a mask. Not because he has it. I don't know if I have it, and he doesn't know if he has it. It's just taking precaution because, God forbid, if something happened to my father, God forbid, if I'm sick, I give it to my father. You know, and
right.
he has underlying conditions, you know.
I tell you.
I could even go further than that.
Hold on, Brother B.
I tell you a quick story. I have a friend, a good brother of mine. His coworker, he didn't know he had it. Came home, gave it to his father-in-law. Father-in-law died.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? People are not. You know, it's like you could. It don't have to be you. It could be somebody else.
Yeah. You know what it is. Like this past Friday, there was a friend of mine. Oh man, oh I'm having a get together. Oh I'm gonna have a get together regardless. Oh, you know, calling me constantly, leaving messages on my phone. Hey man, aren't you coming? Come on man, why don't you come? There's gonna be drinks. I'm like, bruh, I got drinks at home. But
exactly.
I'm being safe. I'm not going. And you know, he kept on nagging me. People win, and I'm like, listen, I'm trying to be safe. First up, number one, there's hardly anybody out there on these streets late at night. So where am I going to be walking the streets late at night? And second, I'm not trying to get sick. I'm being safe.
And if you live in the Northeast, you're also trying not to get shot either. I mean,
exactly. That's what I said too.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. And he said, "Oh, what are you scared?" I'm like,
"It's a lot of variables."
We're going to talk about that in a few minutes, but first, Brother B brought up my attention last night. There's this in New York City. We have on the streets painted Black Lives Matter murals. Excuse me. And there's this lady, a church going lady, quote unquote, going around throwing black paint over these streets. She threw the black paint on the Black Lives Matter by the Trump Tower building. Got arrested. A cop got hurt. You know, I guess they did the paperwork. She got released. She went back out, did it again, got arrested, and went back out for the third time, not so far from Sean Black. I think she was looking for Sean Black, number one, and threw the paint again on these streets. Brother B, he mentioned that she has mental illness issues. At the same time, she was wearing Jesus Lives Matter shirts, and she was shouting out loud, "Refund the police! Refund the police! Refund the police!" Because in New York City, the police department got defunded by $1 billion. So back to you, Brother B. Why do you think she has mental illness? What do you think?
Because either mental illness or somebody, you know, they let her slide with that. But it's mental illness. I mean, like, come on, what are you going out in the street doing that for? What's your purpose? Like, be honest with you, I can understand a white person doing it because it's an attack on their entitlement. But a black person going out there doing it? Another black person doing it, either you're looking for some type of attention, there's something wrong with you there. And Trump Tower, I mean, I've been in that area at night. There's nothing but cops around. So I don't even know how she was able to do that during the day. So either, like I said, somebody had to let her slide, or, you know, something was on the side. But I think, come on, who does that? Like I said, if it's not an attack on their entitlement, why deal with it? She felt the need to go out there and do what? You got a Jesus Saved shirt on, and then you're talking about, you know, refund the police. I mean, really? Nobody really refunded them. They still getting money. They still have a budget. It was just some money was rerouted or reallocated for other services. And that's that. That's what I'm saying. People have a serious problem nowadays with people not paying attention or knowing the definition of the words that they use.
Well, at the same time, she was yelling also that the Black Lives Matter don't care about us. What do you think she meant by that?
Oh, because, you know,
Hello? Oh, his phone got dropped off. Go ahead, Sean. Answer that question, please. His phone got cut off.
Oh, I think as we look towards this whole, I guess this has been going on over the span of a weekend, 3 days, 4 days, whatever is the case. We see people emboldened more and more about why they feel that this is some sort of an impingement on a nerve that they need to release. It was black paint on one of them, but one of them it looked like tar. So I think the mindset behind it is they feel somebody's infringing on their rights. Whatever the ideology behind why they would put paint on the Black Lives Matter mural, it's supposed to hurt Black Lives Matter. It's supposed to show something against the issue. But also, if we remember, the president himself, I believe he tweeted when the initial Black Lives Matter murals were put in front of Trump Tower that he thought it was akin to like a hate crime, something along those lines.
Yes, he did.
And the cue for that is people that support him or believe or in lockstep with his mind, his thought process, that triggered them to go out and be activists in their minds against the whole issue behind it. And when you have that kind of anger and misinformation in your pocket, And then you feel emboldened by people that are in higher places that push that message towards you. And then you start to feel, because of, as we've said before, there are a lot of people in this country that feel marginalized. White people feel that the previous administration has marginalized them. They feel like they've lost jobs. They're not getting the attention that's needed. They start to feel that squeeze, and then they take it out of however they can. And they look to their leaders to help them focus that energy elsewhere. And when the Trump administration has been sometimes overtly saying things, other in other ways coyly saying it about certain things, in other ways, this is bringing that energy to the forefront that brings these kinds of pop-up issues along. The people throwing paint. First it was red paint. Then it was black paint. Then there was the woman that did all of the other things with that. The people going into stores and doing and saying all these other things. And then the explosion of the quote unquote Karens, which I still shudder.
Okay.
Saying.
All right, K-Dog.
The woman, that woman is out of her, I don't know. She it's not mental illness. It's just plain stupidity, and I'm going to explain why. Here she is. She has a Jesus Saves, and she talks about, how black lives don't matter, how black people were looting and all of this, and saying a bunch of nonsense and saying, police officers are still getting their money. Oh, vote for Trump. Oh, we need to vote against these antichrists. That's what she went up and said, that people who don't put God first. You know, she was just going on and on and on about and ranting about a bunch of stuff. And you know what it is? It's like she has the mindset like, oh, she has this quote unquote Christian mindset. That's what came out of it.
You don't think that was mental illness?
That wasn't mental. That was just plain stupidity.
Even Kanye was talking about Harriet Tubman.
Oh my goodness! Don't get me started on that. That's mental illness.
No, listen, if you can't be sound in certain things that you say or you do, there's something wrong. To go out there with black paint and there's something wrong. You're a little disturbed. Like, you know,
mentally,
there's different.
Looking for attention. And she was just
deep.
Saying some stupid things.
Well,
go ahead, brother B. Finish up.
Sorry about that. My call dropped. I'm just saying, listen. There's something wrong. And I think right now there's a lot of tense things going on. People are just, everybody's hot under the collar. It's hot outside.
Oh, yeah.
People got to wear a mask. Fight mode.
It's just crazy. And
on
the phone line. Okay, on the phone line right now, I have someone who's out there next to the Black Lives Matter sign, but she'll signing down Hot Rod Lives Matter because I love the Hot Rod so much. He's my icon, my role model, my hero. I give you, ladies and gentlemen, Lady T.
I don't know what the heck you're talking about right now, but okay. But let me just say something with this lady. We're not sure if it's really mental illness. We have tons of people out there that just want to pour paint like that on that because they're not for the movement. Black Lives Matter, I'm drained with it. They didn't say we're going to be the heroes and the voice and the saviors for the blacks and this, that, the next. When they started it, they said they wanted to protest against police brutality against blacks.
Right.
And there's many other groups out there that's like that, and we're missing the point. But with this chick, she has Jesus Matters on her shirt. Jesus should matter, and you should not do that if he really matters. She looks like an extra out of a movie. I don't know why people was being fooled the way the cops handled her. I'm just saying the way the cops handled her, they took their time, too much time, where they would have put the cuffs on somebody real quick or put those, you know, those plastic cuffs on the plastic cuffs. Like, give me a break. That looked so staged and so fake. And they continue to defame Black Lives Matter. And we continue to keep protesting against Black Lives Matter. What are we not? Are we missing what the real protest is? It got nothing to do with Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter going to act how they want to act because they under who they are under to act like that. But we keep falling for the stunt. Oh, where's Black Lives Matter when this happens? Where's Black Lives Matter when that happens? They didn't say they're going to be your saviors, black people. Kanye said that. I'm voting for him in November.
Oh my goodness.
I'm punching my ticket.
Okay. All right. So with Black Lives Matter, I like the crossover. It's like the 3-in-1 topic with the anti-cops versus the pro-cops. Because it seemed like because of Black Lives Matter and the protests that was going on, there have been a lot of protests for anti-cops and pro-cops. Sean Black, what is your takeaway from this? Because late last week in Brooklyn, there was a big fight that broke out between the two protests. Because like they always say, when you have two sides that argue about one topic, some heated battle will break up. And it seemed like it's not about Black Lives Matter anymore. It's now Blue Lives Matter into the mix.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I think what we're seeing is the irresistible force meeting the immovable object. And they're banging into each other like in a giant super collider. And everything that happens, it bounces back and forth. All you're getting is violent reactions. You have one side that is looking at systematic racism permeating everything from the police force to how you eat, stores, money. All of those things, we can go all down the road and talk about all of the things that we know has its hand in the racial degradation in its societal nature. Then we have the police who right now feel that they're being singled out as a racist mob that all they care about is getting over on black folks, and they're looking for black people and they're looking for minorities, and then because they have the power, they can do such and such and such. So when you have these two meeting each other, there's going to be a lot of strife if nobody talks and communicates and changes the system on both sides. What has to happen, and this is something that's got to be discussed, we talked about this Blue Lives Matter movement, which is something that Hot Rod and I talked about off air, where it's a pro-police group, pockets of people that support the police and are pro-police no matter what. And they seem to have their own logo, which is like, for those that read comics and know who the Punisher is, they've taken the Punisher's skull logo and put it on a colorless American flag with a blue stripe line coloring in it. And that has been seen around by other police officers. We're seeing people that support that movement wearing it. I saw a basketball player just yesterday during an Instagram post wearing it as a bandana over his face. So you have that. Then you also have, as I talked about before, the violence coming from the people protesting against it.
Mm-hmm. So with everything that's happening, Lady T, what is your takeaway from that? Do you think this problem will be resolved, or this is started because of the funding of the police over a few weeks ago?
I'm just flashing back to like the David Dinkins days. This is the norm.
Uh-huh.
You're going to have people that are let's say anti-police and then for the police. People are not realizing defund the police just sounds like defund the police, you're taking away the police. That's the first thing people would think, just the word, which I'm not understanding. Defund the police really means we're taking away some of their money and putting it into this, this, and this. They have tons of money, putting it into their training and so forth. Yeah.
But they took it personally, though, when they defund the money. They took it very personally.
Why? This is not the first time I'm sure that they have defunded the police. I'm sure they have took money and placed it in other areas, but being that we're in, like, the height of protests, it seems like such a bad time for them to do that. I'm sure they've done that many times. Come on, man. They do this with everything, take a little bit out of something. This has been done for years upon years upon years, but being that we're in a time of protest, it looks so bad. That word has a different meaning to people who don't look into the word and what it really means.
It's an insult.
Exactly.
What you're saying is that it's an insult right now.
Exactly.
That's what people are seeing it as. But you see people that still. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Lady T.
Oh no, I was finished. Go ahead.
Oh no. To Brother B point, he knows that the people are still camping outside City Hall and outside the police station. Brother B, if they got what they want with the defunding, why are people still camping out, like homeless people, in front of the police station and City Hall?
It's the same way when you go to, once again, you go to McDonald's and it's a big ass menu and, nah, this is not enough. I want something extra. You know what I'm saying? It's like people just want what they want when they want it and how they want it. You know, that's all it is, man. When you give people too many options, some people too many options, they just want to take all the options and then look for more. You know what I'm saying? So you can't please some people. I mean,
yeah.
What really changed with NYPD? I tell you what changed. It's the money hasn't even really taken effect yet. It's their attitude.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's scary. You have a bunch of grown ass men and women that took an oath to serve and protect. But when somebody said we're going to take some money because we're going to put it into the communities, they get mad. We're going to take some money and you're not going to have your tanks and your military style weapons anymore. They want to get mad. They want to get. You got to think about the mentality of someone who's going to take the Punisher logo. Now, to those who are into comic books, know what the Punisher is about. So you're going to take the Punisher logo, and you're going to make that your banner. And that, to me, that's scary because you're sending out a message. You're sending out a message like you're ready. That's what you do. I'm ready to kill no matter what. And you don't even know the situation. So this is what the protest is all about. But see, once again, it's stepping on their entitlement. And they want to talk about Blue Lives Matter. Listen, you only blue until they want to check you and let you know that you still black. Or you still Asian or you still something else. I remember one time, lastly, I had an instructor, ex-police officer. We had a conversation. And he said, listen, you're either pro-cop or anti-cop or pro-criminal. I said, so wait a minute. So because I don't agree with some of your tactics, I'm pro-criminal? And I think that's like the attitude that a lot of them have. It's either you're with us or you're against us. And that's not what policing should be about. If you feel everybody's against you, then why are you taking the job?
Okay, and Kato, the part three of this crazy topic, because of everything happened with the police and the anti-police and all this stuff, we have seen a rise in gun violence in New York. Mm-hmm. Well, Chicago been a war zone like forever. But in June alone, in New York City, we had over 205 gunshots. That's 130% up from last year around this time. What do you think is the connection? Do you think because of the funding of the police and everything that's going on, is one of the reasons why we have a rise in gun violence?
Well, first up, it's not about defunding the police. It's just that criminals, you're going to have people out there doing some, you know, you're going to have a lot of criminal activity out there regardless, especially if you notice during the summer months. During the summer, and I've said this before, the streets get hot. And it's not just, you know, the weather. It's just that the streets get hot. Due to the fact that, you know, you're going to have a lot of people out there. People want to do some crazy things like shoot up a place or get back at somebody they had supposed beef with, and they see the person and they're ready to shoot. It's like there's a high percentage of criminal activity out there because there's too many damn guns out there in the streets. A lot of people out there having guns. And a lot of people right now are using this like, well, the cops are quick scaling back. Now that cops are scaling back, you do need the police. You do need to call the police. You do need to have the police patrol the area. But unfortunately, like I said, the streets are hot. Streets are hot out there.
But K-Dog, don't you think that's a tactic? Don't you think that's a fear tactic? See, when people give up their freedoms for fear, within fear, they're like, listen, I need you to get the anti-crime unit back. I need you to do this. I need you to do that. We're under attack.
And you know what else? The police are getting, and you know what? I've heard a lot of people using these shootings as a tool to say, see? And they saying, oh, Black Lives Matter, see? Look at this. They saying they don't need the police, right? But look at what they're doing. And it's sad.
Okay, and in the 80s with the L.A. riots, they did the same thing as far as slow response, what they considered slow response. To show you, like, you guys, your community does need the police. They were always, like, laid back when something would happen. and allow even more time for the crime. So how do we know if they're not doing that? A lot of people is feeling that way. Like, are y'all doing slow response to show that we need y'all? These crimes been happening,
because
this is what I'm not understanding.
And also in certain areas, let me just say this, is that the police officer, there has been slow response because let's just say you're witnessing a crime and you're calling the police, you're calling 911, they're going to take their sweet time. It depends on the neighborhood. It depends on the neighborhood.
And Sean Black?
I think that getting to the point of what you just stated with fear being the main ideology behind a lot of these things, as we said before, I can go back to as far as around 9/11 when we started to see certain freedoms being sacrificed, quote unquote, for the good of the safety of the people. And when you start to see those small freedoms sacrificed and pulled away, and then that is given more power back to the government, more power back to the authority figures, they have more and more weapons to oppress. When we talk about certain issues within a neighborhood, when it comes to, like Lady T talked about during the 80s, when we heard about the quote-unquote the war on drugs, we know who profited mostly from the war on drugs.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of politicians
and
a lot of big cities, they got a lot of freedoms moved away from certain areas, and they were able to build on top of and take certain housing facilities were able to be developed. A lot of things happened because of that. And so you started to see a lot of these houses popping up, people losing properties, people losing houses. And we start to see that now. Gentrification has moved in because of those kinds of things. And what did they base a lot of that off of? Fear. And that's a big motivating weapon when it comes to doing what you want to be able to do. So now you move towards policing. And one of the things that you're taught as a kid, call the cops in case something happens. Call the police. If somebody's robbing you, somebody's doing et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But what we're starting to see now more and more are that a lot of police officers are starting to feel more and more emboldened because of how they personally feel. It's documented a lot of police officers, even from the districts that they are policing, they're from elsewhere. So they don't know the area. They don't know the places. So they have to deal with that, the stress of their own personal lives. They bring all of that noise into the job, and then it then starts to trickle into the neighborhood, and it looks like the people that need the policing aren't getting that attention. So this is what the defunding of the police is supposed to be about, getting programs in to pull the stress away from the police so that they have less of a burden to deal with.
All right, and I have to give this to Lady T before I go to the next topic. Lady T, we hear the story of the father who got shot right from his daughter up in the Bronx. We heard about the kid who got shot, the one-year-old child that I shot up in Brooklyn, not too far from Sean, I believe. And we hear stories of these gun violence over and over the last few weeks. Of course, people always bring up the statement, well, if Black Lives Matter, I know you say this you answered this last week, why are, quote-unquote, the young people, why are Black people basically killing each other again if Black Lives Matter?
Got nothing to do with Black Lives Matter. Crime is crime. We have white people that will commit those same kind of crimes, but it won't get highlighted. And in the sense of when we're talking about our community, we need to start protecting our community in different ways. So I don't know what these people are thinking. Obviously, they're stone cold murderers, professional shooters, whoever these people are that open fire and things like that. This has been going on in the community. And it really needs to stop, especially now. We should be trying to unify each other within our communities. But this goes back to taking care of home first before you go out there protesting your message. And then it always comes down to, oh, you guys do black-on-black crimes. And this is how they view us. Y'all kill each other anyway. Why do we care if we kill y'all? So when are we going to get over that stigma of that we have to take care of home first?
And the one thing that is never talked about is the fact that just from statistics and just common sense, crimes happen notoriously in the areas on which the people that are committing the crimes live. If you live in a black neighborhood, you live in an Asian neighborhood, if you live in a Jewish neighborhood, if you live in a Hispanic neighborhood, people are going to commit crimes against the people that are in their neighborhood. Same with white folks.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
The percentages are always highest within the neighborhoods that the people commit the crimes. But what we've been seeing the last God knows how many decades on the news and on TV is that same narrative that black-on-black crime, which does happen, but not for the reasons that are brought up usually when that is there. There are a lot of people that are victims of circumstance, victims of what they know, victims of their surroundings, and they're going to be opportunistic against whoever they can get the opportunity from. And that's basically what has been happening throughout this country for the longest time.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and now my last question is for Brother B. This is a question that was brought to me from a friend, and I saw the same question on social media. So I said, you know what, let me have a little bit of fun with Brother B, and let me see if you could piggyback if you want. Here's a question. A man proposed to his woman with a receipt of a $70,000 student loan debt being paid in full in place of a ring. She thanks him, but says she still requires a ring before getting married. What is she, Brother B? A, reasonable, B, ungrateful, C, smart, D, dumb.
Can we do idiot?
Answer correctly. Huh?
Can we do idiot? So wait, he gives her a receipt, but that he paid off her debt?
Yes, her student loan debt, yes.
Oh, she's a fool. Like, if she's fool, like, listen, you paid off $70,000 of somebody else's debt. Listen, you could put a cigar wrapper on the finger, and you know what I'm saying? I'm good. Let a woman do that for me. Listen, you give me a onion ring, and I'm
good. Oh my goodness,
I'm good.
Okay. Lady T.
I don't think she's an idiot. I just think she's caught up in that fixation of, oh, I need a ring, and the ring justifies marriage, which in my eyes, the ring never justifies marriage. Our commitment, mutual agreement commitment, and what we believe in for each other is what really justifies marriage. So thank you for paying off my student loan. I love it. And I'm definitely even more happy to marry a guy like you because that shows how solid you are with me. I don't care about a ring. Let's do this. We're going to be married regardless. It's not a big deal.
Don't you need a ring to show off to your friends and family and social media that you are getting married?
Man, listen, you show off their credit score.
Yeah, that credit score, we got no debt. We going into excellent marriage. We probably going to build some businesses together. Like, come on. People got to get over this whole ring thing. It's not about the ring. I'm sorry.
You know what
it's
you
really
can do?
Not.
If you, what
the
you
ring ends up when
can...
y'all want to break up getting thrown back at you any damn way. So it's definitely not about the ring. I'm
you
sorry.
Can learn,
black.
You can
course,
learn origami
oh,
and fold the oh, receipt boy. Up in the shape of a ring. If that's what you want to do.
And wear that for a couple of hours. Okay.
My thing, Sean Black,
I still have a story to tell. Go ahead, Sean Black.
Not
I know
a story,
you have a story
but my, this is the process behind it. The majority of women, the majority of women always want the ring because the ring is a symbol. I don't have a problem with the ring as long as the person isn't expecting $500,000 and 9,000 carats. It could be a crackerjack ring as far as anybody's concerned. If you feel that the ring is more important than the relationship, then you're on the wrong foot anyway. So that's just insane.
Okay. But Sean, okay, let's say she questioned you. Do you have questions about the relationship? It's like, wait a minute, I just paid $70,000 for you. That's not good enough. You still want a ring? Do you have questions about that?
It will go back to what people go through in relationships and not knowing what they want or what they feel is what should be part of the relationship. People prioritize the wrong things even if the right person comes along. You could have the right person there. The person that you know you're going to have kids with and have the house and the picket fence, et cetera, And then you pick the wrong thing to prioritize in the relationship, which would sour, poison it, and get rid of it. Those are the kinds of things that have to be learned. And if you don't discuss it beforehand, you're going to kill the relationship anyway. Somebody is paying a student loan.
Oh, my goodness.
He said $70,000. You said $70,000,
okay.
And that's
$75,000,
no, man. No impetus, no nothing following it at all. And you still want to be with that person, and that person shows that they want to be with you. The last thing on that person's mind is the type of ring. What kind
exactly.
of ring? You just want to be with that
that's
person.
That's a person that's not fixated with the fantasy of marriage. A lot of females are still fixated on that fantasy of marriage. My wedding needs to be like this. But why are you not planning for the future of your wedding in the years forward? Versus that one day that'll come and go. That one day, so a lot of people are just doing it for show.
That's the thing.
Yes.
And a lot of
it's
people,
like Lady
it's
team,
like,
will
like
you
this,
like, get on bended
would,
knee and say, will you marry my credit limit?
Well, what's going to happen after the wedding? Because after all that fancy wedding stuff, you know, after the dance, after the last dance, once you get home from the honeymoon, guess what? It's welcome to life. Welcome to life. Welcome to life with this person.
And Brother B,
are you ready?
What's going on for tomorrow night? Brother B, what's going on for tomorrow night on the menu? Right here on Blog Talk Radio at 8:30.
Yeah, tomorrow night, I guess we're going to be talking about pleasing your partner in other ways other than sex.
Okay.
Well, like a $70,000 debt.
Yeah, exactly. You know, gotta
well, you
do
know
something
what?
Different.
Well, but what? Give us a quick example. What do you think? What do you mean by something different?
Something different? Maybe cooking some good food. I don't know. Making sure the bathroom is clean or something like that. You know what I'm saying? Like it could be. It could
come
be
on.
A few things. Just
brother,
come home
no
and like,
how many
oh.
times you clean the bathroom? I'm sorry, but
I got a few. I'll school y'all
tomorrow.
I'll school y'all on some tomorrow.
But brother, how many times you clean the bathroom? As long as you leave the seat up, it's your fault. You're the bad guy. Something about ladies hate when men leave the seat up, which I don't get it why. I always leave the seat up. It's easy for me to pee when I need to, you know, take care of my business.
You know what I do? I leave the seat down, and then after I wash my hands, I throw a little bit of water on there. So that way it's like, oh, you peed on the seat?
Wow.
I said, nah, not really, but, you know. Thanks
why
for complaining.
Do y'all
you know
guys
what?
Leave the seat up? Why do y'all do that?
Because when man's taking his business, he know how to put the seat down. It's easy. Why not leave it up?
I don't understand it. It takes 2 seconds. You're done. Plonk it down. Why y'all don't do that? Why y'all brain don't register like that?
It's a too much of an extra step.
Just be lucky to get some guys that don't even put the seat up in general. They just keep the whole thing and just pee all over the top of the seat. So.
Okay,
oh my
well, Lady T, why do ladies leave hair in the sink? Same reason.
I don't leave hair in the sink. I'm sorry. You got to look back at everything when you use it. I do. Maybe I'm just, I don't know,
a lot
weird
of
like that.
Be the sink. Trust me, a lot of people be paying the sink, okay? So, guys doing the seat up.
Well, yeah,
right. Take the hair
up,
out
get...
the sink and y'all put the seat down. We be even.
But you know, let's be honest, that was never going to happen. Well, on that note, ladies and gentlemen, tune in tomorrow night, 8:30. To the menu, Brother B and Big Red, and the rest of the crew. As always, Sean Black, Lady T, Brother B, and K-Dog. Guys, thank you so much for another great show. Be safe out there. You know, blessings to you and your
please
family.
Be safe.
You know, it's crazy
and
out there.
Vote for Kanye.
Good night, y'all.
Good night.
The pleasure was all
safe, y'all.